You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Just learned through explosive documents published by a very fine newspaper, the New York Post, that Joe Biden has been blatantly lying about his involvement in his son's corrupt business dealing. And this is a big smoking gun.
These accusations are as serious as four heart attacks and a stroke. Now, we're talking about a major party nominee for president of the United States of America with an election right around the corner. And every single solitary responsible news organization needs to be investigating the veracity of these allegations and these emails.
October the 15th, 2020, that was Senator Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, and you heard President Trump in advance of that talking about this real article that came out from the New York Post yesterday, including a screenshot of what the paper said was a 2015 mail email from the Burisma advisor, Vadim Pozharsky, to Hunter Biden, thanking him, quote, for the opportunity to meet your father. Biden has said, I never met anyone. I never talked to anything about my son and his business. I just said to him one time, I just hope you know what you're doing. It has hit the fan. Hit the fan not only on what happened yesterday and the revelations of what's behind all of this, the story, but how it's being covered. We have right now the New York Post, of course, right at the center of all of this, suddenly had its social media outlet, the Twitter, shut down. That's right, they shut it down. They shut down the presidential Twitter. And they shut down others. We're going to get into all of that because what they are trying to do, or we're trying to do, is silence the story. Cover it up. You talk about a violation of First Amendment rights. Where Republican Senator Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Cruz, of course, of Texas, and Josh Hawley of Missouri, now say we want the heads of Twitter and Facebook to testify, and we are preparing a subpoena. Senator Cruz said, this is election interference, and we're 19 days out from an election. It has no precedent in the history of democracy. The Senate Judiciary Committee wants to know what the hell is going on, as we all do. Twitter and Facebook taking steps to stop the dissemination of that New York Post report earlier this week, yesterday. We have known that Twitter and Facebook and other social media giants are on the Democrat side, covering for them, never exposing what they should, and walking away from any story that might possibly be damning and damaging to the Democrats and Joe Biden. And now it's in full view. We're going to get into all of this. I'm telling you, there's a lot to be heard over the next 2 hours regarding this story. The story first of what VP Biden at that time knew and did not know, and how he lied to the American public and others, and now how the social media has been trying to cover them up. And even Jack Dorsey, the head of Twitter, is admitting, we didn't handle that right yesterday. He feels the heat coming. Also, how the leftist media is upset over a town hall rally on NBC tonight, the same time as Biden is in a virtual town hall on ABC. Who do you think is going to get the biggest audience? And the left is absolutely incensed. Oh, don't forget, we still have hearings underway to confirm Amy Coney Barrett. She's not testifying today. What we have is Democrats trying to pull some kind of witnesses in that might discredit her in some way and throwing up whatever roadblocks they can to slow it down. but Senator Graham has scheduled a vote on Barrett for 1 o'clock Eastern Time, October the 22nd. It's going to happen. And also the story how the left loves women unless they are conservative, which Amy Coney Barrett is. And you remember the sexual preference lecture Senator Hirono and Cory Booker gave Amy Coney Barrett yesterday when she used the term sexual preference? You remember that lecture? We're going to go back over it. And I want you to know that even in the midst of that, Webster started changing its definition to fit the leftist view. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. New roof.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but I'm telling you this. This is the message it's sent to the rest of the world. The foreign policy of the United States of America can be bought like a sack of potatoes.
No one says it better and in clear and more candid language than Senator Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana. He's talking about what's happening and has been happening with Hunter Biden and what he was doing while his father was vice president. The New York Post reporting these newly unearthed emails between Hunter Biden and an executive at Ukrainian energy company Burisma, as you heard Senator Kennedy say in our opening, is as serious as four heart attacks and a stroke. The report states the emails suggest the younger Biden did introduce his father, then Vice President Joe Biden, to that Burisma executive. If true, that contradicts everything Biden has been denying. And you know what's going on now? What suddenly is we're seeing come out from the Biden camp? Yesterday, no comment. And, of course, trying to get all their folks running around saying it's false, don't pay attention to it. And I want to know about the contacts between the Biden campaign or Democrats with the heads and ownership of Twitter, Facebook, and others to get the story from the New York Post basically off all social platforms. In other words, limit how it went out. I told you about this yesterday. I told you yesterday they were already starting to do that. I said, this is going to be a big, big deal. It is bigger today than it was yesterday. It's going to be bigger tomorrow than it is today. And now the Biden campaign. Listen to this. The Biden campaign now, according to Politico, the Biden campaign, quote, would not rule out the possibility that Joe Biden met with an advisor to Burisma, the Ukrainian natural gas firm that his son Hunter Biden worked for, while Joe Biden was vice president in 2015. Let me repeat that again. According to Politico, Biden's campaign currently would not rule out the possibility that the former VP did have some kind of informal interaction with the Burisma executive, which wouldn't appear on Biden's official schedule. Oh, that's right. You look at the schedule, there are some gaps in that schedule. All of this happened, of course, because of a laptop that had been dropped off. Apparently, someone said originally thought it was Hunter Biden. Now they're not so sure if Hunter dropped it off, but it apparently is his computer. Or at least he had access to it from time to time. It apparently had some water damage. It got dropped off for repairs. Well, they're trying to pull everything off the computer so they can kind of get in and repair it or save the information, and they see all of this. And no one ever comes back to pick up the computer. It's just like, yeah, let's just don't go back. Let's just forget it. Maybe they will. Well, the company where it got dropped off, apparently, made a copy, first of all, of everything, and turned it over to the FBI months ago. And nothing was done about it. And some of it apparently also went to a Senate committee chaired at that time by Senator Johnson, who was overseeing an investigation into any possible violation involving Hunter Biden. And he knew what was going on. He knew what was on it. He knew it had been turned over to the FBI, and still nothing was happening. And then it appears, the story's still developing, it appears that the guy that gave the information to Senator Johnson's committee and the FBI then gave a copy to the Post, New York Post, and the Post decided, we got enough information to run with this. So the whistleblower said, I waited, and nobody did anything. Here's Senator Johnson on that issue.
This whistleblower, who, by the way, contacted us the day after we issued our report that the news media completely ignored, he contacted us, but he also apparently delivered this computer to the FBI. What did they do with it? Are we seeing different levels of justice, one for Democrats versus one for Republicans, one for the one system of justice for the well-connected and one for the rest of Americans? I think this is what is coming together. We're seeing a very corrupt process here.
Those are the words of Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin. He is the chair of the Senate Homeland Security. He was appearing on Hannity last night. Now, on August 11, 2020, Johnson opened a letter, delivered an open letter to recap the scope and goals of an investigation. And he pointed out, August 11, 2020, that on June 4, the Senate committee I chair granted me authority to issue subpoenas for records and testimonies to certain agencies and individuals relating to the FBI Crossfire Hurricane investigation. And in the process, some of this other information began to come out. And they were also investigating corruption in the Obama administration and James Comey. And then this activity involving Vice President Biden at that time and his son, Hunter Biden, and he pointed out in an open letter, April 16, 2014, he re-pointed out what they knew at that point. On August, he stated, in April, Vice President Biden met with his son's business partner, Devin Archer, at the White House. 5 days later, Vice President Biden visited Ukraine. The media described him as a public face of the administration's handling of Ukraine. The next day, April 22nd, Archer joined the board of Burisma, Devin Archer. 15 days later, Hunter Biden joined the board of Burisma. Reports of his firm being paid anywhere from $50,000 to $160,000 per month. All of this was released in that open letter. But the mainstream media was ignoring it, wouldn't pay attention to it. If you saw it reported anywhere else, well, you were led to believe, well, obviously it's false, no one's backing it up. Now this information out, the New York Post decided we got enough to go with it.
It was ignored. Senator Johnson again explaining just how big the Hunter Biden deals were.
What Hunter Biden had going for him was his last name. And he traded that last name, as did other members of the Biden family, to make millions of dollars. You know, $4.2 million from Burisma, $3.5 million transferred from the former wife of the now deceased former mayor of Moscow. The intricate web, the vast web of financial connections and money, cash flowing back and forth between Hunter and his businesses and Chinese nationals that have the connections to the Chinese Communist Party, as well as People's Liberation Army as well. So this is very troubling.
It obviously is very troubling. All that information is there. Much of it in that open letter that Senator Johnson released in August 2020. Yeah, this year. And questions that were attached to that very open letter, asking specifically of the vice president, when did you meet with Devin Archer? Or I should say why. They already knew when. What was discussed? Was Hunter Biden aware British officials had seized a bank account belonging to one of the Burisma executives? Were you aware in May 2014 Hunter Biden had joined the board of Burisma? When did you first become aware of it? What do you know about financial benefits your brothers and sister-in-law have obtained because of their relationship to you? Now, that's something else I pointed out just yesterday. There's information surfacing now that Joe Biden's son-in-law, putting up a venture capital firm to invest in various vaccines and other research to defeat COVID. And for his son, Hunter Biden, some of the emails released and published by the New York Post show that he was also canvassing possible business involvement with a major Chinese firm. That was Hunter Biden. So he had the Ukraine deal. He was also working a Chinese deal. Senator Kennedy of Louisiana.
Here's what we do know, and it's important. President Obama put Vice President Biden in charge of America's foreign affairs with two countries, Ukraine and China. And in both cases, his son, Mr. Hunter Biden, walked away with millions of dollars of contracts. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but I'm telling you this. This is the message it's sent to the rest of the world. The foreign policy of the United States of America can be bought like a sack of potatoes. And that's a disservice to America and to the world.
I fully agree. You remember all the quid pro quo that they were trying to come up with on Trump and Russia? You remember that? And Trump and Ukraine, quid pro quo? And a pay for play actions and bribery that they kept trying to come up with and they never could do it because it didn't exist? And this was right in their face every day, and they knew it. And what did the mainstream media do? Well, they do exactly what we expect them to do, and they walked the Democrat plank. They did not look over the wall to see what was actually happening. They didn't want to know. It is much like an attorney defending a criminal. They know is guilty, but they don't ask, did you do it? Because if the client says, yes, I did, and then the attorney can't get him to concede with a guilty plea, he's got to go and represent him, and he does not want to commit perjury in the process. The attorney doesn't. So I don't want to know. I'm just going to defend you based on what we have here. I'm not even going to ask the question. And news media, journalist, in quotes for both of those, what did they do in the midst of all of this, even going back to August? Again, Senator Johnson.
What astounds me is how the press continues to ignore this. You know, we issued our report, and the press just ignored it. They said, well, there's nothing illegal here. Well, it's not my job to prove illegality. My job is to do oversight, get information to to inform public policy, but also to inform the public. We gave the press, we gave the public a treasure trove of information that is very troubling, that is just crying to be investigated. And I think what we're starting to see now is the dam's breaking. People are coming forward with more information, and that's what's going to be required.
You talk about an October surprise for elections, on presidential elections. This is a big boot, scare you. And it's going to find a lot of ghosts, and it's going to find a lot of bones in closets, and it's going to unveil all of them before it's over. But social media has been doing its best to try to shut it down. As I told you yesterday, immediately Twitter began to suspend accounts, even of the New York Post, so they could not spread the story. Now Jack Dorsey is saying, that was bad. We didn't handle that correctly. And in the meantime, we've got three senators, Cruz, Graham, and Hawley of Missouri, wanting Twitter and Facebook execs to testify as subpoena is underway. They are going to get to the bottom one way or the other. We're going to spend more on this in the next hour. John LaBoutiere will be joining us here shortly. We'll also discuss some of it with him. But also, don't forget, we are trying to get another justice appointed to the Supreme Court. That story is still continuing. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There's an effort by some in the liberal world to marginalize the contribution because you come out on a different side of an issue. This hearing to me is an opportunity to not punch through a glass ceiling, but a reinforced concrete barrier around conservative women.
That is Senator Lindsey Graham. Today is a started again with the confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. They've had 2 days of testimony and grilling from her, and now Democrats are trying to put up procedural roadblocks to shut everything down, trying to stop it. And led by Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat, Illinois. He's making a motion to end the meeting. I want to put an end to it. He said, let's just end it. He's getting apparently trying to fulfill a promise from Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer that Democrats, quote, will not supply a quorum, period. So they were trying to delay the Barrett confirmation. Senator Lindsey Graham said, I want to take official note of the fact that I'm the only member of the minority that is here. I'm sorry, that's what Durbin was saying at that time to Lindsey Graham. I want to take official note, I'm the only member of the minority that is here. Graham said, we're still going to hold a vote on Barrett, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, October 22nd. And as he pointed out, the left love women. They love the women if they walk their line and they are little Stepford Wives for the Democrats. But any time they try to speak out, as Senator Graham said, there is a concrete wall a woman has to go through. And you remember the lecture that Senator Rono gave yesterday to Amy Coney Barrett? You remember that lecture?
Not once, but twice. You use the term sexual preference to describe those in the LGBTQ community. And let me make clear, sexual preference is an offensive and outdated term. It is used by anti-LGBTQ activists to suggest that sexual orientation is a choice. It is not. Sexual orientation is a key part of a person's identity.
So there was part of the lecture from Senator Rono to Judge Amy Coney Barrett. And Judge Barrett said, I apologize if it was offensive. I did not mean it. Cory Booker went after her as well. And she said, I apologize. I did not mean anything offensive. And they probably forgot that Joe Biden, in a recent town hall meeting, had also said sexual preference. But nobody challenged Joe Biden. It's only when a conservative uses the term. But here's the other part that should absolutely disturb you. While they were attacking Barrett, almost immediately after they were attacking Barrett for using that term, sexual preference, Webster's Dictionary immediately updated the definition of preference to include what Democrats now claim, that it is offensive when used in the context of sex. Before the outrage, Webster's Dictionary listed the fifth definition under preference to link the term sexual preference. Now the definition has been updated to claim the word is offensive. You want to let the mob and the left take control of everything like that? You really want to do that? You better make sure you and your friends and your neighbors are voting. Changing a word in the dictionary because the left thinks it should be re-described. John LeBoutier, former U.S. Congressman from New York, coming up next. I want to get his take on a lot of this, and I believe, as usual, he'll be very candid.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDruryLaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Bravo.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Glad to welcome back John LeBoutier, former U.S. Congressman from New York, author of the book Harvard Hates America. John, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thanks for inviting me, Larry. How are you today?
I'm great, and when I extended the invitation yesterday, I had several subjects I want to talk about, and yet things began to develop and catch fire overnight, and it has hit the fan. You know what I mean? So, your first impression, there's so many angles to this story, but first of all, dealing with the New York Post story coming out saying that Biden, Vice President Biden, actually had a meeting with a Burisma executive when he's been denying it all along, and now the Biden campaign is saying, we will not expressly deny. I think that's the wording. I'll find it in a moment, but there is a gap in the schedule that day. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, you know what I think? I think that this is a planned October surprise by Rudy Giuliani, Trump's lawyer, using the New York Post as the vehicle to get this story out. And I don't think it's going to work for them. I think
John, I got to stop you there. You said the Mueller investigation was going to expose Trump and everything will be coming down. And now you're saying you think this is all made up again this time around, that it's
I don't think those words came out of my mouth a minute ago. This is an October surprise.
Right, and I've called it that.
I didn't say anybody made up, but I said I don't think it's going to work because I think it's too late. And it's not the issue in the campaign. Now, I know they want to rerun the crooked Hillary thing from 4 years ago, but the circumstances are different. And if this stuff is real, and we don't know that it is, the Trump campaign and Rudy Giuliani should have brought it out 5 months ago. Once Biden was going to be the nominee after Super Tuesday, so say April. They should have brought this out then to discredit him and prove this stuff.
Senator Ron Johnson yeah. is overseeing the committee that got all this. He issued an open letter August 11, 2020, in August, and it was there for everyone to see. And the mainstream media ignored it. I mean, it was picked up a little bit, but didn't get much. They pointed out, according to the information they had in front of them then, that Biden on April 16, 2014, did meet with his son's business partner, Devin Archer, at the White House. And
I think he played golf with them, too.
Yeah, there's a picture of that. You're right. There's a picture of that. And so it was reported, but now that the Post has run more details of the email, it's become a bigger thing. I mean, legitimately, I think. Now, whether or not it's true, I agree. But I'm also looking at how the mainstream media and the social media suddenly gathered forces, closing the door, if they could.
Well, now that, listen, I have not missed a day of reading the New York Post since I arrived at college. September 1972. I never miss reading the New York Post. I love it. And, of course, this thing is all over the New York Post, and that's great. But I don't think it's going to catch on anywhere else at the velocity that Trump needs it to become an issue in the campaign. He brought it up 2 weeks ago in the debate. It went nowhere. You know, I just think they haven't done it right.
Well, let me ask this.
Plant this thing and get it going. You got to get it going. Not just in the right-wing media, which you and I are consumers of, but the left-wing media, too.
Oh, well, I looked at my report. I get my daily posting from the New York Times as well as to what their top stories are today, and it didn't mention this story at all. Not even the fact that it's under investigation inquiry. Didn't mention the social media giants that tried to shut it down yesterday. And now we got Senators Cruz, Graham, and Hawley of Missouri saying, we're going to call them in to testify. And even Jack Dorsey of Twitter said, yeah, we mishandled that when we started censoring and shutting down the New York Post tweet machine as well as even the White House machine.
I know. But see, to me, if I am Giuliani, I would have brought this thing out during the spring and had Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren raise it so the left-wing media is onto it, not just the right-wing media. It's just...
Well, you're talking
Larry,
about a tiger.
You can't. I just think it's too late.
All right, you're talking
really
about a tactic, but let's forget the timing.
Okay.
What are the facts that we still need to know? But how the media yesterday was stripping it from social media, you could not get it replicated because their social media accounts were being closed and shut down and locked.
Yeah, well, part of that is Rudy Giuliani has zero credibility among most people in the media.
But wait. I'm sorry. I hear you, but they're always quick to shut the door on something like that, and yet you can have activists talking about setting fire, lynching a Trump and so forth, and they don't attack that. Whether or not Giuliani has credibility or what he had to do with it, why shut down the flow of the information?
Well, you should. No, information shouldn't be shut down. I mean, and Dorsey of Twitter admitted he mishandled it, but they did it. I just, again, for the third time, I'm not attacking whether the story has legs or not or truth to it. I just don't think it's going to do the job this late with 19 days to go.
All right. Let me switch subjects here because, like I say, we have a lot. Amy Coney Barrett, Graham today said that we're going to take a vote. He set a time and everything, and we're going to move forward. And, of course, it can't be stopped. You've been watching, obviously, that. I assume you also recognize her credentials, justify she could be on the court.
Right. A week from today, they'll take the vote in the committee. She will be confirmed or recommended to the floor by the committee. I believe it's a week from today.
Yeah, 22nd. Yeah, you're right.
And then I think the following week, the full Senate will vote and approve her, and she will be sworn in before the end of that week, before Election Day comes the following Tuesday.
In the meantime, of course, Senator Cruz had said that has to be done because we cannot have a Supreme Court 4-4 if we have an election in dispute. And so it has some validity to that extent. What is your thought?
Right. Well, I mean, I think when you can have a full court for all cases, not just that one, you never can predict 4-4. You don't know. People
right.
don't know.
So you and
but
I talked.
It's going to be done. It's going to be done.
I'm sorry. You and I talked previously, and you think that all the stories about voter fraud are made up, the mail-in balloting fraud and so forth. I've got right. numerous examples here in front of me, and I'm sure you follow Hans von Spakovsky and others with the Daily Signal. They're pointing out additional 140,000 instances of potential election fraud in 2016 and 18. We've got illegal multiple voting, numerous reports, anecdotal, obviously, that folks said stuff was stolen out of my mailbox. I went my ballot when I put that out to be mailed. You still believe that you cannot have illegal actions involving mail-in ballots?
I never said you couldn't. I just said there is no record of widespread voter fraud either in mail-in ballots or regular voting in our country, thank God. And my two pieces of recent evidence are the FBI director 2 weeks ago publicly said it, that they have no evidence, the FBI, of widespread voter fraud. And in 2017, Trump, after saying there was widespread voter fraud, created a voter fraud commission, put Chris Kobach as the head of it, and in less than a year, they disbanded because they couldn't find examples of widespread voter fraud. So thank God we don't have it. Yeah, there are going to be cases like the guy in North Carolina running for Congress who had the field man who went around illegally distributing and collecting absentee ballots. Oh, by the way, the guy was a Republican.
Well, I knew you were going to add that. I was going to do it if you didn't.
Yeah, well, I'm a Republican, and I'm ashamed that that's the example of recent federal fraud in a campaign. It's a Republican congressional candidate who did not run again after that, thank God. But it's not true. And I think Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, has made it very clear to Trump and others that Trump is making a huge mistake attacking mail-in voting, because Republicans are the ones over the years who get more votes through mail-in voting than Democrats.
But
do.
Republicans don't have a problem with a photo ID if they're asked to present that or anything else to verify. And of course, there are Republicans, no doubt, that have voted in one state when they're living in another and go and vote that state as well. And so we know that exists.
Ann Coulter.
Right.
Ann Coulter voted in New York and Palm Beach.
Right.
Same year. Illegal. Yep. Accused of a felony for donut.
Yesterday, another thing surfaced. One last subject with you before we move on, and I always appreciate your time. It's were you watching as they began to lecture Amy Coney Barrett on the use of sexual preference and how they?
I did see that.
And you're aware that Webster Dictionary, even shortly after that, started changing the meaning in the dictionary so it fit the leftist viewpoint of what that term would be offensive?
Oh, God, it just makes me sick. It just makes me sick how language in America has been so perverted for political purposes. And by the way, when I was in college, you know, I was getting a rude awakening to this stuff. That's why I wrote that book. As a student at Harvard, I was still there. Harvard Hates America. And it was exactly this kind of thing. That if you don't think the way we want you to think, and if you don't speak the way we want you to speak, we're coming after you. Bad news.
You were on the cutting edge. You were on the cutting edge. John Labutier, I always appreciate having you, sir. Thank you very much again, as always.
Thank you, Larry. Talk to you again before the election.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we will. John Labutier, always glad to have him. As I said, he's very candid. So when we come back, let's talk more about how Hunter Biden got that lucrative position. A lot more to come. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Here's what bothers me about the Hunter Biden case. If his name was Hunter Trump, he'd be probably in prison right now or under three or four different federal investigations. But because his name is Hunter Biden, they keep telling lies about this. They say, oh, no, when Joe's on tape demanding the prosecutor be fired, Sean, he wasn't under investigation. That's nonsense. The Latvian government had sent a letter to the Ukrainians saying, hey, we got these suspicious deposits in Privat Bank that are somehow being routed to Hunter. This doesn't look that great. That happened right before Joe Biden was on tape demanding the prosecutor be fired. So they're just lying to you and pretending what's not there, that your eyes are lying to you, and they're not. Hunter Biden, what he was up to is a real big scandal.
That's Dan Bongino, Fox analyst, on with Sean Hannity last night, again targeting the fact that the only reason Hunter Biden got a job with Burisma was because his last name was Biden. Hunter's even admitted that. He even admitted at one time, well, if you've been named Joe Schmo, you gotten the job? No, probably not, he said. But as these emails are beginning to be published, apparently off of a computer that he was using, and is presented and posted by the New York Post, it includes one email sent to Biden May 13, 2017, with the subject line, expectations, including details of remuneration packages for six people involved in an unspecified business venture. Biden identified that would be Hunter Biden as chair, vice chair, depending on the agreement. His pay pegged at $850,850. The email also noted, quote, that Hunter has some office expectations he will elaborate. The email outlined a provisional agreement under which 80% of the equity or shares in the new company would be split equally among four people whose initials correspond to the sender and three recipients, with H apparently referring to Biden. The deal also lists 10 Jim, 10 held by H for the big guy. Neither Jim nor the big guy was identified. Now, if you want to read between the lines, it suggests that at least 10,000, assuming there's not a zero behind it, was going to Jim, whoever that was, and 10 held by H for the big guy. Would that be 10,000 held by Hunter to give the big guy? Would that be his father? I'm asking. I don't know. Another email sent by Biden August 2nd, 2017, involved a deal he struck with a since-vanished group in China, a group that had ties to the Chinese military and intel services. Biden wrote that the deal had been sweetened earlier with a three-year consulting contract that was to pay him $10 million annually, quote, for introductions alone. And Biden in the email, according to the email, has been published by the Post, the chairman changed the deal after we met in Miami to a much more lasting and lucrative arrangement to create a holding company. 50% owned by me, 50% owned by him. And also added, consulting fees is one piece of our income stream. But the reason this proposal by the chairman was so much more interesting to me and my family is that we would also be partners in the equity and profits of the joint venture investment. And there were credit cards issued to an account used by Hunter, his uncle James Biden, would that be the Jim Biden, the J a moment ago, and James' wife, Sarah Biden, to purchase more than $100,000 worth of extravagant items, including airline tickets, multiple items at Apple stores, pharmacies, hotels, restaurants. These are damning. Now, if they're all accurate, and if they came direct off a computer that Hunter Biden was using, and if it was his computer and he was the one writing those and putting all this together, they are. Now, John LeBoutier was just saying as he joined us, he said, it's all too late. It's not going to have any impact on the election. I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. Let me give you an example, and I should have gotten into that with John. I try to give him a lot of space so he can actually answer a question. I want to jump in every time. I can't do that. That wouldn't be fair to him. But remember the incident days before the election with the FBI called me saying, oh, we have found a new stack of Clinton emails. We need to let you know we found them.
And then days later came back and said, oh, it's all okay. We've already seen them. There's nothing new there. Hillary has insisted and would today again say the very fact that they made noise over that, saying there are some new emails days before the election, that that also cost her the election. Of course, that's one of many reasons she claimed she lost. No, I think this could definitely have an impact. And when you look at how the mainstream media has been trying to cover it up and ignore it and turn their back on it, and then yesterday, when the story was breaking, Twitter and Facebook began to shut down platforms so it couldn't be spread, claiming that the information was not accurate, or at least it hadn't been fully fact-checked. We're going to get into that in more detail coming up in the next hour, and also how the media, I should say the left, is so incensed that Donald Trump will be on TV tonight at a rally at the same time Joe Biden is holding a town hall meeting. They're crying foul. They know no one's going to watch Biden. They know who's going to be watching what. We got a lot to cover the rest of the hour coming up. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.